Hey Q-Zero fans, this is Artistic Associate Tom Locke coming to you, asking if you were wondering how you can join the revolution. The easiest way to join the revolution is to become a Q-Zero member today. By becoming a member, you're going to help us bring more work to you. Included with that are many great benefits, including our newsletter, merchandise, signed memorabilia, exclusive podcasts, exclusive videos, access to our MeWorks blog, and so much more. We have two different options that you can use to become a member. One is our annual option through our GoFundMe, or we also now offer a monthly option through our Patreon, starting at as low as just $2 a month. Search Q-Zero on either GoFundMe or Patreon, or check out the links in the show description. Sign up today and join the revolution.
We have only three words for you.
Uh-oh.
We're taking over!
The world is alive.
Why not raise a little hay?
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, welcome to another edition of the Q-Zero Theater Cast. This is your host and artistic director, Dan Pelletier, here today with Taylor Cloutier, who is playing Claire in our upcoming world premiere and season opener, New Space. Say hello to the people.
Hello.
Like everybody else we've been interviewing, if you could start off, talk to me a little bit about your theater background and like how did you get started in theater?
Sure. When I was in middle school, I had a couple friends who really wanted me to go to a drama club meeting with them after school. So I did because I wanted to hang out with my friends, but not knowing what I was getting into. We all went, had a good time. The next week for the drama club meeting, I was there and they did not come back. And then it was just me ever since. So
Where did they go?
Not drama club, that's for sure. I think they just weren't interested, and I don't think they did sports either. I think they just probably went home.
Oh, that's... How rude of them.
Yeah.
Was this for like a particular show or was this just like the like getting the gauging the interest meeting type
yeah,
thing?
Yeah, it was the middle school club. Come after school. We'll play some improv games. We'll do like a weird little one act piece at the end of the school year, maybe for your parents to come see what you've been working on.
Okay, yeah.
But mostly just getting skills, different
right.
things like that.
So what was your first real production then?
Well, aside from the ones they forced you to do in school that were strange and obscure, I did a piece called Final Dress Rehearsal. It's pretty much Cinderella, but the rehearsal period. So the play itself is the rehearsal time of this drama production that's happening. And it's about their final dress rehearsal that is very terrible, but they're still going to open the show the following day anyways. And everything is a mess. And I got to play the fairy godmother, and she was a train wreck, but very fun.
Yeah, no, it sounds like a nice little theatrical farce and satire. So about how long have you been doing theater?
This is probably my 13th year, probably in 2006. I started when I was in that middle school, coming up into the high school area. I did it all throughout high school with my high school, as well as some of the community groups in the area. And then I took a break for a couple of years while I was trying to figure out college and working full-time. And then I recently gotten back into it within the past 2 years.
All right. What brought you back?
A company up north was doing Heather's the Musical. It was a musical I was not willing to miss. So I gave it my shot and auditioned, and I was lucky enough to be put into it. And then I've pretty much been in a show ever since, and that was right around the holiday season 2 years ago.
Oh, that's great. Yeah, Heather's is definitely a hot show these days. I mean, I think it's starting to taper off a little bit, but, you know, it is on the short list of shows that Q-Zero would love to do, so who knows if that'll be something down the pipeline. Was there anything in particular, like, you know, you said you didn't want to pass it up. What was it about Heather's that made you need to be a part of that show?
Yeah, I've always been more of a musical theater kind of lady myself, but with Heather's, I was attracted to it because it was a little more outside of your standard musical theater piece. It wasn't always pretty singing and pretty topics and a happy ending. It obviously, its music is a little more abrasive language-wise and style of music-wise, as well as, you know, the content in the show is obviously adult content. I liked the messages that were being thrown around in there, but I also liked that they were not typical things that people were putting up on stage.
Mm-hmm.
So I said, hey, why not? As well as, you know, most people have seen the film.
Yeah, are you a big fan of the film?
I had actually never seen it.
You've never seen it?
No? I saw it when I was in the show, but I, going into it, did not.
Okay.
I knew it from the theater side. I had some friends who did it in a college nearby, and then I saw it, and it was on the internet. It was circulating around.
Yeah.
So I kind of researched it, listened to the music, and was like, wow. And it was a show that I felt had a role that I could do and do well and have a fun time with. Or, you know, there's plenty of shows that people want to do, but they may not have a role that would fit them in it.
Right. That is always the challenge. I mean, I'd love to play Gaston, but you'd probably have to find me a 5-foot nothing bell. So would you say Heathers is your favorite show that you've worked on? Or do you have a particular show that, you know, was your favorite? And if so, why?
Heathers by far is one of my favorites, and I think it was when I loved the show. I loved the role of Martha in it, even though she literally just gets yelled at the entire show and bullied the whole time, but I still had a great time playing it.
Mm-hmm.
She has one of the more classic Broadway songs in the show. It's a little more like a Park and Bark,
yeah,
sad, belty little song, which I like singing. But I also, for me, outside of the show, is I pushed myself into a new theater company outside of my comfort zone. I met a lot of extremely great friends that I would have never met. And then I got involved with a lot of other theater people, which have led me to do shows elsewhere and get involved in different places.
That's great. I mean, you probably don't want to hear this, but I actually struggle with liking Martha on just as reading the script.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm like, I don't care about you. I only care about her to the extent that she is like the catalyst for a lot of Veronica's actions, but like, I'm like, I don't, you're wrong. I don't know. I struggle.
Yeah, she definitely doesn't necessarily have a real reason to be there, because when I watched the film,
yeah,
I realized in the film she has no role essentially.
Yeah,
she comes in there, they make like one fat joke, and then she kind of doesn't really do anything. They'll, like, occasionally pan to her in the movie.
Yeah.
So I was a little shocked that they took the time to write a role for her in the theatrical version, as well as give her a solo, because
she's important to the story, but I you know, she's bullied and she's picked on, and you don't want to, like, talk down. But then she just also just has this arc where, like, how do you not get it that
She doesn't learn.
Right, she doesn't learn.
She has no social cues.
She's in a very, she's lived a very almost sheltered life, mm-hmm, and she still thinks everything can be pure and innocent, whereas like all of the other characters in the show have been broken by their world. But just like the facts, like how do you not get it that Ram does not like you because he is a douchebag?
Yeah.
And you are not who you were 12 years ago. Which I think is kind of almost an important thing to explore in that show, and something that I think a lot of people do struggle with when you aren't who you were years, mm-hmm, ago or whatnot. I mean, so it's like nice, but I don't know. I like characters that have too much hope I want to see stomped on, because, like,
yeah,
you know, the world broke me. They should break you too.
And she was harder to play because of that reason.
Yeah.
Because most of the characters I have played in the past tend to be a little more very broken.
Yeah.
Very broken characters who are, you know, sad. They understand the things they cannot have and why they can't have them. And Martha just has endless hope and no social cues to be able to read the situation she keeps putting herself in.
Yeah, but and then when she finally does lose that, she takes the extreme route.
Right. I think she's very on either end of the spectrum. She's either everything's perfect and great and I don't see any problem, and then somewhere she kind of gets it and immediately jumps to the other side and takes the extreme route of jumping off a bridge.
You know, I think there is something to be said in that we shouldn't coddle people as they're growing up. I think we need to kind of like ease them into, mm-hmm, the world and its harsh realities. And if you do give everybody like the cushy protection, that you'll have problems later, which, yeah, you know, the show does explore these, you know, darker things of suicide and, mm-hmm, bullying and things like that. Excellent. So you said you're heavily involved with these other companies. What companies are there and what are they? So you said you're heavily involved with some other companies in the area. Which companies are you involved with, and to what extent are you part of those organizations?
So I did Heather's with One Light Theater based out of Bristol, New Hampshire. Mm-hmm. During that production, they asked me to be a part of their board. So I sit on that board currently. And so if I'm not in a show with them, I am very much involved in, you know, I do a lot of the voting and budgeting, fundraising, all that fun stuff, as well as, you know, I'll stage manage if they need someone because I do have experience in that. Mm-hmm. I got involved over at Franklin Footlight Theater just because they're very close to my house now where I live, as well as, you know, my boyfriend sits on the board for that company, so he was trying to get me involved with stuff they were doing. And then now I'm here.
Yeah.
Down in the Manchester area, which is a good time.
I'm always glad when people will explore and travel outside their normal territory. I know that there's a lot of actors. They're like, oh, I'm loyal to my company, and I only do shows in one city. And I think that can be incredibly limiting. So thank you for, you know, stepping outside and coming to be a part of these things. You know, right now, Q0, you know, where we're just kind of starting and moving into our next phase of world domination, we don't have a board yet or anything like that. What is it like being a board member of a community theater, and what does that entail?
So for me, I head their membership side of it. It's my main priority on the board. So I get memberships. We do a membership party once a year. I maintain them. Each level of membership comes with different kind of benefits. Aside from that, I sit on the board for, you know, at our meetings that we have once a month, we'll talk about upcoming shows. So we will, you know, approve those, talk about budgets, what kind of team, we'll try to build a creative team for mm-hmm. the process. We run the summer camp as well. So that's a whole new experience for our educational team side. Relatively new company as well. They've been in probably a year before I got involved. But I think from, you know, the beginning to now, they've made a lot of strides. And for me, it's fun to be able to be at least involved in some sort of theater aspect if I can't be in a show.
Right.
As well as, you know, I've learned a lot about what goes on behind the scenes. Because before, I was just, I'm here to audition, put mm-hmm. me in a show, I'll do what you tell me to on stage. But aside from that, I didn't have a lot of involvement in what happened behind the scenes. And then, you know, I've built my stage managing skills, which I did every now and then with some people, but really been able to get better at them and fine tune them, and now I can respect when I do shows that the stage manager is doing all this work for.
Yeah,
I can understand everything they're putting into it.
Yeah,
now.
Definitely the unsung hero of the theatrical process. I'm glad you talked about the importance of memberships, and just want to remind everybody that's listening that you can become a Q0 member both through our GoFundMe page or our Patreon. We have memberships starting as low as $2 a month, which you get all sorts of fun benefits, including exclusive podcasts, merchandise, insider content, the New Works blog, extra podcasts, and a lot of other fun perks and benefits. But back to your story. Was there any big, like, things you didn't understand when you were just an actor about what it takes to put on a show or to run a theater organization that you now have a greater respect and understanding for as a board member?
I think the first big shock for me was, you know, the finances behind putting on a show. Because, you know, I would, in high school, they'd be like, well, what shows do you guys want to do? Mm-hmm. And we would list all these shows that we really wanted to do. But then now knowing, oh, the rights to a popular show or a popular musical can be very expensive, especially if, you know, depending on how many weekends you're going to put them on or, you know, all that stuff. So then I was like, I understand why we weren't doing all these shows that we were asking to do. They weren't just being mean to us. Who knew? So for me, that was like the first thing, being like, oh, these can cost a lot of money.
Yes, theater is quite expensive.
Yes. And then the second part for me, especially in a new company aspect, is the amount of work that was being put into it from the people who are starting the company, or when you don't have a big board. Our board's literally, I think, like four people, and then we have our artistic director. So there's, you know, there's five or six of us trying to run this company. That's a lot of work, especially when you're starting out, because you have to try to establish yourself with essentially making no money because you're brand new.
Right. Yeah, Q0's, you know, in that, I mean, we've been around for 5 years, but this is our first full season. And, I mean, we don't have a board. We have what we call the Q0 Brain Trust, which is me, resident artist Marjorie Boyer, Tom, and a revolving door of a few other people, depending on who's around, that we kind of entrust with the important things. But yeah, it is a lot of work. I say that I essentially have, you know, three full-time jobs, one of them being my regular day job at So Entertainment, and then the other one is I run the drama club at Central, and then being artistic director of Q Zero. So, you know, it's a nice 80-hour work week on the regular, but, you know, you gotta love it.
We do it for the things we love.
Right. Now, stage managing, that is a particular difficult challenge, and as we said, it's something that is greatly underappreciated, I think. And I think a lot of people might not fully comprehend what is the job of a stage manager. And I know, depending on what director, what organization you're working with, the duties of a stage manager can vary. But what do you find to be the biggest challenge in stage managing? But then what do you find to be the most rewarding about stage managing?
So most of my stage management experience has been with our educational and youth productions. So that in itself is an experience, because I'm working with a cast of, the last show I did was 13, mm-hmm. the musical, and, you know, our cast was age 12 to 15. That age group can be a lot to stage manage sometimes. Mm. I was very lucky that they were in love with the show, so they were more than willing to do whatever was needed. For me, stage managing was taking whatever the director had in his mind and making sure it was executed. So he, you know, made it very clear to me what his intentions and plans were. I just had to make sure that things were happening to
right.
on the stage or behind the stage to ensure that that was happening. And another part of it was working with the cast is learning what they needed to be able to get that accomplished. So in my 13 cast, about half of them were pretty experienced in theater, had a lot of experience, worked with like Winnie P, or have gone down to do like the Broadway Junior in New York. Mm-hmm. The other half was just brand new to theater, but their friends got them involved, and they were quite good, but didn't know what to expect or like how to do stage blocking or setting your props and don't touch props that aren't yours or transitions. So I learned very quickly that, you know, half my cast was missing cues or mm-hmm. missing things that were very much needed. So I had to learn, I had to write a whole call board out back. Mm-hmm. And I broke it down by scene, what costumes they were wearing during each scene, which props were coming on, and what.
You're far too things. Kind. I tell my kids to make their own damn track.
Yeah.
My piece of advice is you make your track, write it down, and then make one copy for every pair of pants that you wear, so you always have one in your costume.
Yeah, that's an excellent idea. I just made a big poster board and stuck it out back.
No, make them take responsibility.
It was very strange. Half of the cast, not a problem, never looked at the board. The other half relied on the board.
Yeah, there's definitely two different types of actors.
Yeah.
Let's shift gears, maybe talking a little bit about your experience just as a theater audience member. Is there a particular type of show that you enjoy seeing, or something you would say that draws you into the type of theater that you want to watch?
I love to see musicals. I'm a very music-oriented person, both in and outside of theater.
What's your favorite show? Like, if you could have tickets to the world's greatest production of one show,
I would love to. I would have died to see Next to Normal live on Broadway. Mm-hmm. It is one of my favorite shows and one of my dream shows. Have been obsessed with it for forever, but I would love to see it done really well, because I haven't yet. Not a lot of people do it around here, and the last production I saw locally was not the greatest.
That's disappointing. Hopefully in August you'll get to experience Q0's take on Next to Normal, and hopefully it'll live up to your expectations.
I'll be there crying the whole time.
That's the desired goal with this show. So you're definitely, I mean, between Next to Normal and Heathers, do you only really feel that you're drawn to the more modern rock musical, or do your tastes vary? Like, what else are the types of shows that you're looking at?
I think it varies. I grew up being exposed to theater that was a little more classical. So like the first show I ever saw was Music Man. Mm-hmm. My mom was really big into like Les Mis, and my grandma loves Fiddler on the Roof and like that kind of music style. So like I grew up knowing all of those and was really into it. And I don't think that I personally started like looking into musical theater or any kind of theater and watching it on my own and probably until like the Hairspray movie came out, to be honest. I know it sounds really dumb because mm-hmm. it was the Hairspray movie. But for me, I was like, wow, a role that is built like I am. Mm-hmm. You don't typically come across things like that. So I think that was like, I could do this. Maybe I want to do this.
Yeah.
And so I started looking into it. I do think that I grew up like a real angsty teen. Mm-hmm. So I think that I was really attracted to like angsty musicals or ones that had underlying like really deep issues.
Yeah.
So I love to see shows that maybe are a little more on the sad or deep side. But I have found myself now as I'm getting older to at least go into shows with an open mind. My boyfriend was an adjudicator for a while, so we would go see different shows. I would just be the plus one.
Mm-hmm.
So I saw a lot of different shows that didn't necessarily know what I was getting into or I hadn't heard of, but I still really enjoyed.
Right.
Either way. So I think now my taste is kind of opening up.
I think that's really important that, sometimes have to seek out something to expand our taste palette for theater that, I think there's definitely been shows that I've experienced that I went in going like, this is going to be a bad time. And I'm like, oh no, you know, that might not have been my cup of tea, but it was entertaining. Like I worked backstage on a production of Rock of Ages and I'm like, this show is stupid, but it's fun. I'm like, would I ever have like sought that out as an audience member? No, but you know, it was better than I thought it would be. Is there any particular types of shows or a show in particular that you don't like? Like, is there something that would keep you away from the theater?
Not necessarily. There are shows that I've seen that I don't enjoy and probably would never want to see and or be a part of.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't necessarily mean that they did anything wrong to me.
Just, no?
You know, I really don't want to see Seussical ever again.
No? See, I have a burning hatred of Andrew Lloyd Webber.
Oh, yeah, Cats. I will not.
No.
It's a no from me on Cats.
Great.
Also.
Then we can stay friends.
Excellent. But, great. You know, there's not like a certain type of theater that I'm like, I don't want to see that. I try to give it a chance.
Okay.
I view it as opening bands.
Like yeah.
You go to see a concert and there's an opening band. I used to really be like, I don't want to listen to them. I just want to see what I'm here for.
Right.
But now I'm like an old lady. And so I think I'll give it a shot. And I usually end up really liking it. Something new, even if I wasn't going to be there for them.
That's good. Let's change topics and now kind of chat a little bit about New Space. Yeah. So you play Claire, who is the secretary, office administrator of New Space.
Mm-hmm.
Talk to me a little bit about your character. Give the audience some insight into what she looks like, or psychologically in the character.
Yeah, I think Claire, she's a young woman who got this job here at this New Space office, but I think she knows in her mind, she's a strong lady, but I think she has a really hard time understanding how to grasp that and use it in her either newfound role here at New Space, or I feel that also maybe in her normal life, mm-hmm. just out and about, because, you know, she is a college student, which is a struggle in general, and then trying to get this, you know, new job where she works closely with two other men in the office, as well as something that's now being used in the political debate here. So I think for her, it's a lot of, she knows she's worth it. She knows she can do it. It's just finding the voice within her to do it. But she's strong. She feels strong.
Yeah, it's a great way to put it. Is this your first time working and workshopping a new piece of theater?
This is my first time workshopping a show.
And what has that experience been like for you?
It has been one of the most fun theater experiences I've had. I was just talking to a bunch of friends about it, you know, being like, one, I've never really done an original piece except for like one outside of high school, so I was excited to get the chance to do that because original works are always super fun. You never know what other people are thinking of in their mind and what could be a great show, and to me this topic in general is something that's very real and could happen, who knows. So I think it's a very timely piece, and then being able to work with the team to develop the show on like what we think feels right and other members of the cast and what feels right between us and develop a character that no one else has ever had before is great. Because when you do shows that have been done and seen, well, that's super fun and a great experience. people expect your version of whatever character you're playing to be something like they've seen in the past. And that can be frustrating for an actor to, you know, want to kind of change it up a little bit or add their own flavor, but people are expecting whatever they saw.
Right.
So being able to originate a character based on how I think she reads and how she interacts with other people and her whole backstory that, you know, I've created or whatever is a really cool experience.
Yeah, it gives you a lot more ownership and connection to the piece. What has been the biggest challenge of the rehearsal process? Like, has there been anything so far that's been particularly difficult or something you've struggled with?
Well, I haven't done a straight play for 6 years.
Would you like us to insert a nice musical ballad at the end of Act One?
I would love to, please.
Okay, I'm not sure if musicians or a composer are quite in the budget, but I'll see what we can do for you.
Thank you, I appreciate it. So, you know, I was very nervous to come into a piece of theater with no musical breaks. Because mm-hmm. I always felt to me that it was easier to get into a character with a song. It's just something that for me is easier.
It can give you a little bit more into their mindset when you've got the music that helps paint the picture.
Right. And then I always say I don't cold read well. Mm-hmm. So almost everything that was read the first couple of times does not sound convincing to me.
Yeah.
Or great.
That's why we rehearse.
Right. And over time, I felt like I have been connecting more with Claire and taking the time, now that I've had the time with the character, to really kind of start being like, well, this is what I think she's like. This is what I want her to be like.
Right.
This is how she's interacting with other people in the show. But for me, I think the biggest challenge is the straight play part, because I haven't had to just talk to people mm-hmm. and not be like, hold on, I'm going to sing you a song now. And then we're all going to dance away and it'll be fine.
Right.
So for me, it was really nerve-wracking.
How would you say Claire has evolved since the first table read, either both in your interpretation of the character or just textually during, you know, the various rewrites that we've had?
I think for me personally, is when I first read her at our first table read as a cast, I think she almost came across as shy, timid, and just kind of there.
Mm-hmm.
She was just the lady who was the secretary. I answered some phones, made some appointments, reminded some people where to go when they're supposed to be there. And then as we went through different rewrites, and then, you know, she started getting more of a spine, I guess, a backbone. She started standing up for what she felt was right.
Mm-hmm.
And yes, sure, she still takes the phone calls, reminds people where to be, but she knows why she's doing it now.
Right.
And she's a lot more strong and assertive, I think, in her role there, what she's doing, and she knows that she is more than that.
Yeah, I would definitely agree. I know that the last draft Marjorie sent me before we started rehearsals, in her notes beforehand, one of them was just, I have no idea what I'm doing with Claire. You know, it's been great that through the process, we've been able to develop this strong female character, as you said, that, you know, lives in this male-dominated world, you know, in a very cramped space, of the new space office. So I'm glad that you've been able to be a part of that process and that we've been able to develop this character from what she was, where she was a little two-dimensional and just kind mm-hmm. of there, to being a vital part of the story and a fleshed-out character. Is there anything particular that you would like to say to the Q0 audience about why people should come see New Space?
Come see New Space because it's a great original piece of work. The cast working on it is incredible and have put a lot of time and creativity into the show themselves, as well as it's a very timely piece in the world we're living in right now.
Mm-hmm.
So I think if you were ever going to support an original piece of theater, this is the one to do. And, you know, I've seen a lot of original pieces, and I can't always say I walk away feeling like it was a great viewing experience, but I have left every rehearsal saying to people, you really need to come see this show. It is very well done. In a very timely piece that I think everybody can relate to in a world that we live in today.
Is there anything you would equate it to? Like, if you like X, you'll like New Space. Like, what world Ooh. Does this play live in for you if you were going to recommend it to a particular audience?
Hmm. I feel like it has a big part in the tech world. And when that's tech, whether, you know, we're all looking at smartphones these days, but any kind of tech, really, mm-hmm. whether you're playing a video game or you work in an office, this is a show that's for you if you're if you have any interest in politics. Mm-hmm. It's the show that is for you if you think, you know, you live in a world that could be a little corrupt. This is the show for you. And if you, you know, live in a world or work in an environment where you think you have great relationships with people, this is a good show for you to come see and see how relationships kind of build and sometimes can fall based on the pressures that society are putting around on them.
Those are some great tidbits there. I hope that starts to drumming up the interest there. Final thoughts either on New Space, Q0, your theater background, anything you want to share? Do you have any other projects on it coming up down the pipeline, or is this the only thing you're working on right now?
This is the only thing that I am actively working on, and there's a small piece that I'll be doing in July for, it's like an educational benefit kind of piece, but I don't know the name of it yet or where it's going to be held, but it will be in July.
All right. Make sure when we get those details, you let us know so we can plug it on the podcast.
Yeah.
So any, as I said, any closing thoughts you'd like to share with the Q0 universe?
Please come see the show. It's super great. Great people. Come see all of Q0 stuff because super great people, and they're doing a great season. Their season's going to be sweet. I'm very excited for Next to Normal. Whether I have to come see it every single day, because I will.
Well, that's great. We'll gladly take your money.
yes.
And on that note, I'd like to thank you, Taylor, for your time. It was, you know, great chatting with you. You gave us a lot of insight. Hopefully the audience also enjoyed learning a little bit more about you and have a better understanding of theater now. So this is Artistic Director Dan Pelletier signing off. And as we always say, please support local theater and join the revolution.